We're at a bit of a crossroads right now. Between people finding and ripping tons of CD-ROMs, old disks, and other collections of data, putting them on the Internet Archive, and having programs like Diskmaster go through and analyze them, finding all sorts of treasures, momentary efforts, long buried, brought to the surface, we find ourselves with a real chance to understand what came before us, the smartest and most forward-thinking of ideas, coalescing them into something special, something memorable, and maybe finding things we should have seen the first time and trumpeting them to the heavens. I don't want to bet everything that this is going to be the case, but I think I'm moving a few things to that square. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. What I'm saying here about the crossroads partially comes from my understanding of messing around with AI, algorithmic intensity, of the past few months. Programs that are allowing you to do deep analysis of drawn-in data, catching inferences and cross-connections that a person may or may not make, combined with the amount of processing required for something like Diskmaster to go through all these collections of archives, find everything in them, make them previews, make them searchable, and then allow you to do, automatically or not, hundreds of queries against them. There's something different about all this now. Maybe we've always had the ability to do searches and to do analysis, but it feels 10 times, 100, 1,000 times more effective. The availability of GPUs for analysis, along with a bunch of libraries that let people create new types of queries and responses, means things are being found faster and faster. I referred to a lot of this in something a few years ago as the blorb. The blorb being that after a while, it won't matter what kind of data is going in, because we will derive from that stories, aesthetics, inferences, and the beginning of conclusions based on all of the data. It won't matter to have one or two different runs of newsletters for a vintage computing platform. But the idea that we can start to understand the nature of a newsletter, along with pulling in all of the information from all of the newsletters to be able to have queries that are made, is a shift. In the short amount of time that we have moved into this world, I've been having a lot of fun living there. The same kind of mind that would go around to different bulletin board systems and grab all of their text files is now much older, but as willing as ever to traipse through and try strange queries, queries for creating art, for answering questions, for remembering turns of phrase that activate when an over-analytical engine gets asked them. You can ask some of these AIs to write Apple assembly programs, and it may or may not do well, but it does a lot better than you would have expected. In the realm of drawing programs, coming up with terms that are both generic yet historical is having a greater and greater effect as I experiment with them. I'm having fun doing this. I am finding that realms of text file data, PDFs, movies, and audio recordings have a potential to become the fuel for a very, very strong calculating and inference engine. Some people might be bothered or scared by all this. We've been living and soaking in the boiling water of computing technology becoming ubiquitous for decades now. Maybe all of this AI stuff is what's causing people to wake up to what's happening, but I've been there a long time. It didn't take much time for me to realize that you could ask Google full-sentence questions, and it would do a reasonable job of interpreting what you had to say as if you were a person querying a reference librarian. I've seen phrases pulled out of PDFs, out of image files that have been optical character recognized, and even subtitles and closed captioning being used when trying to determine the destination you were looking for. You can give Google queries like, "Give me a song in which this happens," and it will do a pretty good job of finding that song you were thinking about. As part of that, an entire realm of analytical libraries are becoming available where you can give it a source set of data, say this is this type of thing, and either do the parlor trick of generating relatively convincing new versions based on those pieces of history, or, much more exciting to me, be able to give very detailed or very undetailed queries and match even though those exact words aren't where you are looking. Being able to give it the full context of textfiles.com and looking for different types of geographical or word use, being able to return graphs against bulletin board lists and generate different kinds of maps, this is all very powerful to me. Exciting. Well worth the effort it has been to spend a lifetime collecting data. I know for some people this is weird and scary, but for me, it's the next movement in a symphony of dance between all of this data I've been collecting and now. Occasionally, I run up against people who have a very specific view of what an archivist and a historian is, and most importantly, what kind of environment they need to find themselves in. In at least one case, I watched somebody have a major breakdown in a Discord channel, talking about the ramifications of a machine capable of falsifying relatively credible history and what that will mean. To which I had to point out the last 250 years in which false writing, forged papers, paintings, and coins that didn't come from where they claimed have been threaded into life. They are part and parcel of the human experience. We falsify, we draw conclusions, we fabricate as we need to for the goals that we have. Some of those goals are as simple as financial compensation. But then there's people who do it for a thrill, for a chance of celebrity that comes from being something that you actually are not. That motivation is cooked into the human psyche, and if you haven't been thinking about it, and you haven't been making defenses against that situation, well, maybe now's the time to do it. The fact that a machine automates some level of forgery is, to me, no different than the fact that people find ways to wash old paper to make it seem like it's older than it is, or adding all sorts of streaks and marks that time later discovers are false. A really fascinating example to me are speedrunner videos of video games where, because of the nature of systems like the Nintendo 64, the background electronic hum of the equipment is always there. But in recent years, people have run spectrograph analysis against these old videos and discovered, in the background, cuts in this electronic hum, indications that these files, these videos, have been spliced together. An entire realm of speedrunning became suspect. Speedrunners were ejected out of their community, many of them quitting in shame or defending themselves while quietly being removed from all of these leaderboards as a result of later deep analysis. We're seeing in various realms crimes, massive and petty, being revealed months or even years later as a result of careful consideration, forensic examination that didn't come around in the first place. The fact that this happens, this cycle of declaration, celebration, reckoning, and dismissal has been going on for hundreds of years. I calmed this person as best as I could, although maybe what I call comforting, others don't. But it comes from knowing that part of what I am doing is setting up a body of work, a collection of tapes, a zip file with timestamps that gives us at least a rough toehold in understanding what was what and when it was. I think a lot of these feelings, these concerns, fears, paranoia about what it means for evidence are comes from a misunderstanding of how malleable and how intense the human spirit is towards finding shortcuts, finding things that aren't there, connections and patterns that don't exist, and then feeding off very little seeds of knowledge or truth to concoct a pearl of falsity, of hope, of dreams. Nobody, I think, needs to be that scared, that concerned of what's coming. Sometimes emotions have run high. The idea that a machine might run itself into some realms of human creativity, optimization, or automation would run into realms of the human experience and the creative spirit is an understandable fear. But my experience is that with a little bit of adapting, a little bit of changing your story, revealing your process, and interacting one-on-one or one-to-a-group in what you are doing, people will find and understand the value. They'll keep you honest. They'll ask questions. You won't be able to avoid talking to people, avoid interacting with people in the process of what you do. But for that small price, that slice of time, I have an enormous amount of faith in the idea that in this automated, algorithmically intense, networked, and ever-present world, we will find ourselves, and maybe, with a little luck, find it even more colorful, more intense, and more personal than we ever have before. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Martin, Sembiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Make no mistake, we're in for a wild ride. In the contemporary world, I feel the same thrills that I did when home computers came out, when browsers became available, when I connected to the internet and all of its strange telnetting ports and interactivity beyond what I'd ever imagined. It's going to be very, very interesting. But in the same way that I feel both new and old when playing a battle royale game, I feel both behind the times as new programs and libraries and interactions become available, and yet being able to creatively come up with bizarre turns of phrases and forcing hundreds of CPUs to do my bidding to make something weird that hasn't existed before. I will find that balance, make things part of what I do, make projects and interact with new tools in the same way with a cassette player and then a Tascam mini studio until finally working with Audacity in Vegas. There's always a space for a person who feels what they feel to have a stage from which they can express themselves, find their own voice, and spread it far and wide. I believe you can do this. I believe in you. And that belief is unwavering.